Matthew chapter number 13, verse 22. Now he who received seed among the thorns is he who hears the word and the cares of this world. Underline that, the cares of this world or the cares of this life. The cares, the needs, the wants, the necessities of life. The necessities of life, right? And it mentions other things, the deceitfulness of riches. But notice the cares of this world, which are the needs, the wants, or the necessities of this life, they can choke the word and make the believer unfruitful. The needs of life, there's nothing wrong with the needs of life. We all have needs of life, right? The wants, the cares, the necessities, things that we need in order for us to live on a day-to-day basis. Now it says, these things, when we obsess over these things, when we pay undue attention to them, it will choke the word of God, and you, the believer, and me, the believer, and we, the believers, if we do this, we will become unfruitful. Unfruitful means unusable, means irrelevant. When we are unfruitful in the kingdom, you are irrelevant in the kingdom. You are dispensable. I'm running away from this word. You are useless. I am useless. I am dispensable. Right? That means, truth be told, if I'm unfruitful, then I'm not going the same direction as God. I'm not going the same direction as the Holy Spirit. Why? Because there is no unfruitfulness in the kingdom of God. Unfruitfulness is not of the kingdom of God. Unfruitfulness is of darkness. It's of the kingdom of darkness. This word has been very strong in my heart, church. Extremely. Now, when we give too much attention to our needs and not to the word, when we give too much attention to our needs and not to the word, it affects our faith and it makes the word of God in our life ineffective. There's nothing wrong with the needs. The needs are genuine. The needs are authentic. The needs are real. The needs are there. But if we pay too much attention, consumed by our needs. Today we are here for prayer. We're talking about prayer. Our focus is prayer. Our prayer is always about the needs. Our prayer is always about the things that we lack. Our prayers is always about the things that we don't have. Oh my goodness, we are losing sight of what is really important. We are losing sight. We are losing sight. And if we go this way, the word of God gets choked. What does that mean? The word cannot grow. And now notice, if the word is not growing, then we become unfruitful. Then we become unproductive in the kingdom. Then we become dispensable in the kingdom. Then we become useless in the kingdom. And prayer, you see, what we take to prayer is what consumes our life. You can't leave one thing and pray another. No, what you do in prayer, what you say in prayer, what to pray in prayer is what consumes the greater part of your life, is what consumes the greater part of my life. Hallelujah. Prayer is critically important because for as long as there's a man to pray, there's a God to answer. But what is it that actually we are called to pray? So you see, it's not that prayer is a thoroughfare. Prayer is an open-ended affair that we go and say anything and do anything that we want. No, it's not like that. Prayer is an avenue that God has made available to us as children. But what is it that we ought to pray for in prayer? You see, that is important. And the devil is very cunning. The devil is sly. He knows that if you're not praying right, then you will not have right. the programs, the plans, and the purposes of God, for them to manifest, they first and foremost become a prayer. They first and foremost become a prayer. The plans, the purposes of God, for them to materialize, they first and foremost become a prayer. They are birthed in the womb of prayer. The plans and purposes of God for our lives, for the salvation of this world, church, they are birthed in the womb of prayer, and the devil knows that. You cannot birth them when you're not praying what you ought to pray in prayer. That's why he says, there's nothing wrong with the necessities of life. There's nothing wrong with the cares, with the needs, with the wants of life. Of course, we have these things. But when these things begin to consume us and overtake our prayer life, you'll find that our prayer life is overtaken by the things we don't have, by the things we want, by the things we lack, by our needs, by the necessities of life. Then, my friend, you see, in that way, we cannot birth in that womb of prayer. We cannot birth the plans, the purposes of God Almighty. God cannot move in that environment. And these things are so terrible. He says, they choke the word. They choke. God cannot move where there's no, listen to me. God cannot move where the word is not growing. The very fact that the word of God is not growing, it tells you that there is no movement of God. Can you hear what I'm saying? The very fact that the word is not growing, it is choked. So it can't grow. So in an environment where the word is choked and it's not growing, that tells you there's no movement of God. God cannot move where the word is choked. Choked by all these other things that we have prioritized. Prioritized to his will, prioritized to the word, prioritized to what God wants. Matthew chapter number 6. This word has been very heavy on my spirit. God says the needs, the wants, the necessities of life. That's why things are not happening. The Lord has been ministering to me that when my people are praying, this is all they pray. They go to pray, but this is all they pray. They don't pray what I want them to pray. They pray what they want, not what I want. As a result, we are stuck. We have delayed the programs of God. God has got programs. We are called to be fruitful. We are called to be usable to God. We are called to be used by God. But now the things of God have taken a back burner. Because we have prioritized, we have put in the forefront things that we're not supposed to be putting in the forefront. And we're going to pray every night, every other day, and we think that we are pleasing God, but God is not pleased because of the things we are seeking. We are seeking things in prayer that God did not say scripturally, biblically. He did not say that we ought to seek. He didn't say. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Therefore, did I give you the scripture? Matthew chapter 6, 31 to 34. Therefore, do not worry. Don't worry. Saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? These are the needs, the cares, the necessities of life. These are the things that choke the word. That's why I said, don't worry about them. He knows what. He is warning you. He is warning me. He tells us we must not worry about them because he knows why. Let us not allow our needs to cloud us. Let us not be obsessed. Let us not obsess over our school fees, over the rent, over the grocery money, over the transport money, over electricity, over all of these things. No, no, no. Do not worry, he says. Do not worry, he says. Groceries, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? These will not stop until Jesus Christ comes back here on earth. He knows them. So he says, don't worry about them. They will not stop. But the devil will want you. He causes me and you to focus on this, because he knows as long as we are focused on this, the programs of God grind to a halt. God cannot move in our lives. If God cannot move in our lives, God cannot move in the lives of others. If God cannot move in the lives of others, God cannot move in this world. Do you see how important you are in God's grand scheme of things? If God can't move in your life, he can't move in another. I can't say, no, it's my business. It's not my business. If God is not moving in my life, he can't move in the life of another. We can't say it's our life. No. As a Christian, you don't have a life. You have the life of Christ. If God cannot move in us, God cannot move in the world. If God cannot move in the church, he cannot move in the world. We ought to know our assignment and wake up to what God wants. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. So there's nothing special about the necessities of life. They will remain, they will always be there until Jesus Christ comes back on this earth. For your heavenly Father knows, you see, that's key right there. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Need. God knows what we need. God is aware of what we need. God knows our needs. God knows them. God is aware of our needs. So why would we be there to be praying our needs all the time when he tells you, don't worry about what to eat, about what to drink, about what to wear? He says, even the Gentiles, they are seeking after these things, and God knows the things that you need. Whew. If God knows the things that we need, then this prayer is as good as answered. We can't be obsessing over this. We can't always be dragging this before the throne room of God every time that we pray. And sadly, some of us, this is the only thing that we ever pray for. The needs, the things that we need, the things that we want, the things that we lack, the things that we don't have. This, it becomes the whole prayer of a child of God. What a sad state of affairs. What a sad, sad state of affairs. For your heavenly Father, so don't worry about your needs, for your heavenly Father knows that you need these things, but, or however, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. It says, God knows, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now he says, seek first what God wants. God says, I know what you need, but. You see, there's a but there. I know what you need. I know what you want. I know what you lack. But, this is God talking. But seek first what I want. Prioritize the priority of prayer. The priority of prayer. The priority of prayer. Prioritize what I want. So when I go to pray, the priority is not my needs. The priority is not the thing that I want. The priority is what God wants. Come on, this will revolutionize your prayer life. You don't go to pray what you want. You do not go to God to pray what you want. You go to God to pray what God wants. You go to pray to God what is priority with him. Ought to be spending time praying for the things that we want. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. If they are added, then I don't have to pray about them. They are not a priority in prayer. They are a priority in my life. Of course they are, but not in prayer. In prayer, it says he knows the things that I need. He knows the things that I want. But he tells me, he does not leave me in the dark about what I ought to be praying for. Listen, when we go to prayer, we are seeking, don't we? Come on, friends. We go to prayer because we are seeking. Now he says, what you ought to seek, he outlines it. Go seek my will. Go seek for what I want. Because when you seek it, then I will reveal it. There's so much that God wants to do, but is awaiting for us to pray it out. We need to conceive it in that womb of prayer. We need to give birth to it in that womb of prayer. We need to nurture it in that womb of prayer before it manifests. This is the reason why we are in God church. This is the reason why you and I are born again. Listen to me. This is the reason the Bible says we and God, we work together. We are working together with God. Jesus was here on earth. The Father was in heaven, but Jesus was working together with the Father. I do nothing unless I see the Father. What is it telling you? We are working together with my Father. Until now, my goodness, until now I've been working because the Father is always working. So God is working. He's looking for vessels to work with. And he says something so important. He says, when I find vessels to work with, then I will provide for them. I will provide for them. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. A shepherd, we follow a shepherd. If God is the one leading you, he will provide for every need. And when God leads us, he leads us to his will, not to our will. The Lord is my shepherd. That means he's leading you, you're not leading him. And if he's leading you, he's leading you to his will and not to your will. The Lord is my shepherd. Those that he are following after the will of God, God is saying, I will provide for their every need, like David. He's my shepherd. Why? Because it says, and all these things shall be added to you. Which things? Which things? Of 31, of 32, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For after all these things, the Gentiles seek the same things. And now he says, and all these things that the Gentiles are seeking for. Oh my goodness. Why is the Lord? Why does it seem like the Gentiles are doing well than we, children of God? No, but because we are missing it. Gentiles are seeking after these things. Gentiles are doing everything to have these things. Gentiles are killing to have these things. Gentiles are corrupting to have these things. But God says, don't seek them, then I will give them to you. You see, when we stop seeking them, then he will give them to us. That's the equation of God. When you stop seeking them, says Gentiles are seeking them. I don't want you to seek them. What I do want you to do is to seek the kingdom, is to seek my righteousness. I will give you the things that Gentiles seek. Matthew 6:32. I will give you the things that Gentiles seek. But how? But how? But how? But how? When you stop seeking them. When you stop praying for them and crying and weeping and fasting for them. God says, I'll give them to you when you stop doing that. Number 34, therefore do not worry about tomorrow. What do we worry about tomorrow? What am I going to eat tomorrow? Where will I have money tomorrow? Where will the necessities of life? Don't worry. Don't worry. Philippians 4. Philippians 4 verse 6 and 7 says, do not worry. Be anxious for nothing. Be careful for nothing. Do not worry. Oh my goodness. God says, I know that you need these things. Even Gentiles are seeking after them. But I don't want you to seek them. I know the things that you need. I will give them to you. So don't worry. Why mustn't we worry? Because the scripture says so. God says so. Why mustn't we seek after these things? Because the scripture says so. God says so, church. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Don't worry about how your needs will be met, but just tell God. He says, make your requests Don't groan in prayer for what you need. Don't be there to be groaning in prayer because of needs. No, no, we groan in prayer to birth the plans and purposes of God. We don't groan in prayer for the things of this world, the things that we need. Hallelujah. If you have any requests, tell the Lord. And now he says, verse number 7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now notice, verse 6 says, don't worry. We come from it, the Lord says, don't worry about these things. Now he says, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Now he says, verse number 7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus. Now this comes as a result of right prioritization. Can you see verse number 7? Verse number 7 comes as a result of right prioritization. Okay? Peace and not anxiety. He says, and the peace of God, peace and not anxiety, peace and not fear, peace and not worry. But when does verse number 7 take place? When we prioritize. When we prioritize what God prioritizes. When we seek what God seeks. When we want what God wants. Isn't it that a lot of us, we are always praying for our needs and stuff like that, but we never come to verse number 7. We don't experience it. We don't live it. We don't leave it. Remember verse number 6 opens with don't worry. Do not. And if you don't worry, God did not say don't tell me what you need, don't tell. It says make your requests known. Make them known. And it's amazing, right? God says, I know the things you need. But I guess the Apostle Paul here, because of the stubbornness of people, said, okay, make your request known to God. But he told you, be anxious for nothing. And if we seek what God seeks, then the peace of God, when we prioritize the kingdom, when we prioritize the righteousness of God in our prayer, then the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard our hearts and our minds through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Glory to God. Now let us know that Satan's plan is to keep us in the struggle to provide for our own needs. The plan of the devil is to keep us in the struggle. A lot of us are caught up in the struggle. A lot of us are trapped up in the struggle to provide for our own needs and pursuit of what we want. Caught up. Caught up. The kingdom is in a standstill because we are busy. We are in a struggle to provide for ourselves. We are in pursuit. We are pursuing the thing that we want. But God never told us to pursue the thing that we want. God told us to seek the kingdom, to pursue the kingdom, to pursue his righteousness. And he says, whatsoever that you want, that you desire, obviously, that is in keeping in line with my will for your life, God says, I will give you everything. I will give you everything. But the devil's ploy is to keep us in the struggle to provide for our own needs and pursuit of what we want. We get so spent that there's nothing left to seek God. We get so spent that there's nothing left to pray. There's no power, there's no energy, there's no time. We are so spent. We are so thoroughly spent. We are exhausted. We are finished. Can't even meditate. That's the ploy of the devil. That's the ploy of the devil. Now it does this until we lose focus of the kingdom mandate and priority. The devil keeps us here in his ploy, in his deceit, until we lose focus of the kingdom mandate and priority. I can ask some of you here, says, what is your kingdom mandate and priority? Long forgotten because you are busy with other things. And the word of God has long been choked out. and your life, needless to say, is not bearing any fruit. It's just dry as dry can be. Spiritually, there's nothing. There's no life there. Notice where there is no life, that's where the devil is in charge, is in control. Where there is no life, that's where the devil is in charge, that's where the devil is in control. Are we together in this house? 1 Peter 4:7. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. I don't want to talk about the people that don't pray at all, because they don't understand what this means. Because they don't pray, they've got no prayer life whatsoever. It's time that they should check themselves up. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. Let us be serious and watchful in our prayers, seeking and praying the will of God. Let us be watchful and serious in our prayers, church, praying and seeking the will of God. This is what he's saying. We can't be serious and watchful in our prayers, seeking and praying for what we want. There's nothing to be serious about. There's nothing that scares the devil there. We're praying for what to eat, what to wear, what to drink. We're praying for money, we're praying for that. There's nothing that scares the devil. So there's nothing, the devil has nothing to do with you. You are already in his pocket. Let us be serious and watchful in our prayers, seeking and praying the will of God, so that we don't get caught up in Satan's web of deception. And we know this makes the word of God ineffective in our lives, and it makes us unfruitful. This is Satan's agenda, to make the word of God ineffective in your life. What does it mean? You know the word. You may even be full of the word, but it's ineffective. And you, fruitless, unfruitful. That's what he wants. This is what Satan wants for each and every believer of Christ. Satan hates believers who are on fire, because believers who are on fire, they destroy the kingdom of darkness. It is believers who are on fire. Believers on fire are very destructive. Believers that are on fire, they destroy the kingdom of darkness. Now, these are the ones that the devil has got an issue with. Satan has got nothing to do with cold believers. They are not a threat. They don't pray, and it's normal to them. They don't study the word, and it's normal to them. They don't meditate on the word, and it's normal to them. You see, these believers, although they think they're in the kingdom of God, but in spiritual reality, they are in the kingdom of darkness. In their minds, they think they're in the kingdom of God, but not so in spiritual reality. Not so in spiritual reality. If you are hot as a believer, on fire as a believer, what opposition is there that have you received from the evil one? What opposition is there? Nothing. Nothing. You're living your life like it's golden, so goes the song. You're just living your life like it's golden. You are cold as ash, you are cold as ice. Not useful at all in the kingdom. God cannot even look at you to say anything or to do anything, because we are non-existent on God's side. And you see, these are the believers that the Bible keeps on warning that when they die, these are the ones that are called left behind. They'll never see heaven. They'll never see heaven. This is to the ones that the Bible says they need to wake up now. They need to catch a wake-up call now before it's too late. They need to do what? When? Before? It's a prophetic word for a lot of people here. Catch a wake-up call. Stay yourself up to see God. Stay yourself up. Wake yourself up. Shake yourself up. Discomfort yourself. Listen to me. You will not see God until you learn to discomfort yourself. You have to discomfort yourself to see God. As we always say, there is a price to pay. There's a price to pay. What is that price? The self must die. What is the price? What is the price? Yeah, the self is the one that a lot of people, a lot of Christians, they don't want to die. These are the left behind, these ones. They need to watch all the series of that movie. Romans number 13, verses 11 to 14. Very prophetic scripture. Now it says, and do this knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. This is a prophetic word for everyone sitting here. Awake out of your slumber. I don't know what sleep is there. It can be sleep of deception. It can be sleep of laziness. It can be sleep of religion. I don't know what sleep is there, but awake. It is time to awake. Hallelujah. It is time to prioritize God. It is time to seek what God says you ought to seek. Stop being so comfortable. Comfortable, but you're not even seeking God. You are comfortable in your 5 minutes prayer. Your prayers, our Father who art in heaven. Hey, Lord, that's how you wake up in the morning. At night, Lord, keep my soul, whatever what they say that prayer. That, please wake up out of that slumber. You are not praying. You are doing nothing. For all, if it were not because of the message of God, you could have died in that sleep because you didn't even pray. Time to wake up. Our jobs, we prepare, what is this thing? Our jobs, we prepare reports. You don't sleep until 3 a.m., until 4 a.m., and you're still going to wake at 7 o'clock. You can do that in the secular. You can never do that in God. Got reports. I've got reports to submit. I've got reports to submit. You're sleeping 4 a.m. You never slept. You're busy drinking coffee. But you can never drink this coffee and wait on God. Wake up. This is what he's saying. Wake up. It is too late in the day. It is too late. This is a late hour. Please wake up. Spending 3 hours like it was just 3 minutes on your socials. Communicating, but failing to communicate with Jehovah, failing to communicate with God. And you are the one who says, Lord, move in my life. He moved where? You've never given him a way to move. How can you say, God, move in my life, but you don't give him the leeway? You need to provide him with a way to move. Hallelujah. Amen. Knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. He's not talking about physical sleep. He's talking about spiritual, in the spirit. Awake. Awake. Wait on, let God find you waiting for him. Awake. Please. He's been looking. He's been moving. The Spirit of the Lord goes to and fro, the Bible says. But who does the Lord find waiting? Finds people busy or preoccupied in natural sleep, snoring and being tormented by the devils. And then they come to me as a pastor. I eat in my dreams. I have sex in my dreams. Of course, because you are sleeping too much. No wonder you are eating in the dream. You can't see God. You can't pray. No wonder you are being sexed in the dream because you can't see God. And you come and bother me as a pastor. I can count the hours I sleep as a pastor. Have you ever heard me coming and standing and say, I'm eating in my dream, I'm having sex in my dreams? Because you're having this, because you're sleeping too much. Fast asleep. This is what the Bible says, awake. No problem. If you eat in the dream, then it tells you in the night, pray. When you're being sexed in the dream, don't come to me as a pastor. That's a message to say you ought to wake up to seek God. And come to me as a pastor for deliverance. Hallelujah. If we can tell you some of us the things that we pass through, but we're not passive. We fought our way through them. We fought our way through them. There was a spirit of violence in our spirit, the violence of faith. We fought through them. Never ran to prayer line for these things. But fought our way through them. Never went to prayer line. And we got the victory. and the victory is permanent. They got the victory. Okay, how else will God teach you to pray if it does not allow these things to happen? For you to stand up and say, Satan, you will stop this nonsense. I'm not going to stand for this nonsense. And I'm telling you, devil, for as long as you continue, I'm going to stand against you. I am going to oppose you. And listen to me, Satan, I am going to defeat you with the blood of Jesus. God is training you for war so that you know how to war. You know how to war. Little sleep in the dream prayer line. Little shake in your sleep prayer line. Come on. Be serious. It is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed, church. It is the last hour. It is the last hour. You know at the airport when they say the last flight, you better run because it doesn't wait for you. It doesn't. When they say it's the last flight, even in that restaurant where you are, when you hear that voice blaring through those speakers, you know you gotta run. Say boarding or 5 minutes left. You have to run. The night is fast spent. The day has come. The day is at hand. Spirit church, spiritual issues, spiritual matters. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day. This is prophetic for a lot of people here today. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness. Revelry means parties, these drinking parties of yours where you go and drink things. Sometimes you drink things from bottles with a pipe. It's not time for that junk. It's not time for that nonsense. It's time for you to be found doing supplication like someone was saying earlier on. I think Pastor Kibi was praying in the day. It's to be doing supplication, to be found in your corner. Not getting drunk and parties. That's why I always tell you, you need to ask God for things before you do them. Some of you are traveling. Did God tell, is it time to travel or is it time to seek? So which is which? Hallelujah. The brothers of Jesus Christ, they say to him, go up to Jerusalem so that people can see you. They say, we know you want to be known by people. Christ says to them, you go up to Jerusalem because for you the time is always right. But for me, I cannot go there unless my Father tells me. So who tells you to do the things you're doing? You already planned your holidays in December. Who did you agree with? Who owns you if he does? Where did God say he wants you in December, but you already planned? You take a leave and you plan it out. Did you take the leave in prayer? Did you plan the leave with God in prayer? And God says, of course, my child, you can take the leave this date. Of course, my child, you can go travel there. You can do this, you can do that. Do we even do that? You see, this is what we're talking about. Prioritization. Prioritizing the kingdom. Kingdom mandate. Kingdom. How many Christians carry kingdom mandate? How many? Very few. It's those who are not sleeping. It's those who are not sleeping. I say it's those who are not sleeping. Glory to God. Let us walk properly, church. Oh my goodness, I feel this. Please don't be found in clubs doing things that the people of the world are doing. Don't be found in clubs with people that are half naked. Don't be found in clubs with people that have got nothing to do with God. Don't be found in clubs where Satan is glorified. Don't be found in clubs where the devil is God. Don't be found in clubs where Satan's servants, demons are all over the place. Don't be found in clubs. You will never find the Spirit of God in a club. Do not understand that. Let us walk properly because that's not proper. That's improper. That's improper. It's not proper. It's improper. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and darkness and drunkenness. See, revelry and drunkenness, that's darkness. It's don't walk in darkness. Walk in the day, walk in the light, because these things are darkness. revelry and drunkenness. Christian found drunk. Don't even know, cannot even differentiate your right hand from the left. They say, who is your name? You mention something that is out of this world. My goodness, you are too far too gone. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry. Some people, they get drunk, they wake up, but they are pregnant. They wake up with babies. Some people, they get drunk, they wake up with HIV. It's a fact. Now, it tells, drunkenness is darkness, it's not light. That's what it's telling you. That's what it's telling you. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy. Stop fighting one another. Stop fighting one another. It is late in the hour. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Oh, this is not the time for this. Don't be fighting, people. Don't be envious. Now listen to verse number 14. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. Now is not the time to make provision for your flesh. Now is not the time to be following someone around. No. Is the time for you to be found in your closet? Is the time for you to be found seeking God? Make no provision for the flesh. Those who are married, they must live as single. Tool. Not bothering yourself about my husband, my wife, we're not getting along. What is going to happen? Live a single. Now is not the time. This husband of yours is not going to take you to heaven. This wife of yours is not going to take you to heaven. In fact, maybe this wife of yours or whatever, husband of yours, is the heaviness that is stopping you from taking off. Don't you understand that there are no marriages in heaven? Jesus Christ said it. So live as though you are single if you are married. He says there are no marriages in heaven. He says to the leaders, the Jewish leader says that you are mistaken not knowing the scriptures. They are not, they don't give, oh my goodness, they are not given in marriage in heaven. Whew, I think I, let me not go deep. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Let me not go deep. That means you and your spouses, you must be both of you on fire for God. That's what I'm trying to say. On fire. On fire. Your fire to rub off on each other. Your fire to rub off on each other. That's what we're talking about. That's what God is looking for. Let's read this verse, this scripture in the Message Bible. It sums up what I've been saying. Now he says, but make sure that you don't get so absorbed and exhausted in taking care of all your day-to-day obligations that you lose track of the time and you doze off, oblivious to God. That sums up what I've been saying. Can I see it? Read it there, please.
But make sure that you don't get so absorbed.
You don't get so absorbed in pursuing the necessities of this life, the cares of this life, the needs of this life. Don't get so absorbed, yes?
And exhausted.
It wears you out. You're so absorbed and it's wearing you out. You've got no time to seek God. You are so worn out. You've got meetings that never end. So worn out. Someone out. Be wise as a serpent. Make the time. If there is no time, make the time. Make the time. As you busy on your day-to-day job or whatever you're doing, be praying in the spirit. Be praying. You are in a meeting, but you are praying in the spirit. Your boss calls you into the office. They want to say something because you are praying in the spirit. The boss forgets what he wanted to say to you. No, okay, I'll see you. Or maybe the boss wanted to deliver not so good news, but because you are always praying in the spirit, when you come in, the boss just smiles. And they had something for you, a warning to sign. When you come in because you are praying, they just take the thing and throw it into the dustbin. Learn to be always praying. I say learn to be always praying. Frustrate the devil. He He keeps you busy. Now in the busyness, that's when you're praying. Frustrate him. Defeat him right at his own game. Defeat him in his own game. Yes, start again.
But make sure that you don't get so absorbed and exhausted in taking care of all your day-by-day obligations that you lose track of the time and doze off, oblivious to God.
What is oblivious to God? What does it mean to be oblivious? What does it mean? How many of us are oblivious already? How many of us are oblivious? We're living like we are in a peace time. Christ says, I did not bring peace here. I didn't bring peace here. But we are living as if we are in a peace time. Oblivious. Totally, absolutely oblivious. To God. He says, the night is about over. Dawn is about to break. Jesus is coming soon. That's what he's telling you. Don't be left behind. They've made movies, but it's very serious. Whether we like it or we don't like it, men are going to be left behind. But the thing is this, make sure it's not you. That one is settled. Men are going to be left behind. That one is settled, but make sure you're not one of them. Don't miss your day of visitation. You know, some of us, God has sent an angel bringing a message from heaven, but we're not found standing. We're not found where we're supposed to be. Honestly, it's a fact. The angel went back to heaven with a message. If God had not said, okay, now take the message to somebody else, but the message was meant for you in the first place. The night is about over. Horaman derish kelebra ashte. Li ardelia stoko brashta la mukayate, manda rabeshka lagondo urdalanda abragite, jeko tolo ubramande reshke, lando ularde stalate utamande, brando uskolobra alarde ilate, jenda rabosika ambra alige, my Lord and my God, le katata broko zika, lende rebozila marde gete, janda abradonko, mandelerde stalahate, marde, 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 my goodness, I kid you not, I'm seeing angels with fire, I'm seeing angels with fire, I'm seeing angels with fire, I am seeing angels, they are carrying fire, they are carrying fire, they are going from person to person, they are going to the people that are waiting for God. I'm seeing, I kid you not, I saw, oh my goodness, I saw angels with fire. I saw angels with fire.